Welcome to Beyond Standards, your source for authentic discussions about the world of teaching. Get ready to explore challenges, share inspiring stories, and discover strategies that will empower you to make a lasting impact on your students. Here are your hosts, who are trying to master the fine art of maintaining their sanity while managing a classroom, Joe Rohrhoff and Jeff Bologna.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the Beyond Standards podcast. I'm your host, Joe, alongside my co-host, Jeff, and we are both fired up for this opportunity to share our thoughts on what life is like to be a teacher and connect with other teachers and hear their thoughts on their reality of teaching. My name is Joe. Just a little bit about myself because it's the very first episode. I've been teaching for 18 years, just started my 18th year in education. All of them have been in the classroom. Started at the high school level, social studies teacher, and the last first eight, I think, were at the high school, last 10 or so at the middle school level. Currently teaching eighth grade American history, and I love what I do, absolutely love teaching, and hope to kind of share that inspiration with other people. A little about my personal life. I'm just a regular teacher. Got a wife, couple kids, couple dogs, and you know, so work-life balance is something that's hugely important. It's something I think that'll end up coming up on this show a lot, is finding that balance between work life and home life. And Jeff, a little bit about you.
Yeah, hey, welcome, and thank you for listening to our inaugural podcast that Joe and I have been planning. Actually, Joe has been planning this in the works for a while. My name is Jeff, and similar career path as Joe. This is year 19 for me, so I've got one more on him. I've been with the same district for 19 years, and I've taught all grade levels from 12th down to 6th grade, currently teaching English language arts, 6th grade and 8th grade right now. I've been in the middle school for going on 12 years, which is crazy to think. Absolutely love what I do and wouldn't trade my career for the world, but at times it is a little stressful and a little painful, obviously. But, you know, like Joe said, we're here to hopefully offer some insight. Personal life, married, three kids. I've got a 16-year-old, I've got a 12-year-old, and a first grader, a 6-year-old. So I've got them in all different buildings right now.
Nice, nice. Thank you, Jeffrey. Our goal with the podcast, Jeff brought it up, that Joe's been thinking about this for a while, and I have. Our goal for the podcast is to really speak to teachers in a language that they understand. The language that you use in the lunchroom when you're talking with your fellow teachers about what happened that day, the same language that you use when you go out in the hallway after class and you tell your teacher buddy that's in the next room from you in between classes about the kid that just threw a temper tantrum in your class because you asked him to politely stop drawing penises on the whiteboard, and he just thought that that was over the top and he threw a temper tantrum, and you know, you got to share that story. And this is a place where we're gonna, you know, share, talk like we talk in those situations, and you know, hope we can find some guests that want to share their reality of teaching as well. Our topic today, very first episode, and we're going to start with a crisis. And I truly do believe that this is a crisis. The crisis is teachers leaving the profession. And I thought this would be a great way to start our podcast because that's something that really encompasses a lot of the BS that teachers have to deal with, that they have to go through. If you talk about teachers leaving, there's so many different reasons that they leave, and that's going to be a, you know, main thing that we talk about today. And we're eventually going to interview a teacher that ended up leaving the profession, and he tells a great story about what he was fed up with and why he left, what drove him to it, how he thinks that it could improve, how he thinks that we could make the school system better for teachers and ultimately for kids, because that's why we do it. We love our job. Jeff and I both said it in the intro. We both love what we do, and we both care deeply about the kids, and we want what's best for them, and we're here to get that. We're here to support the kids. And to start today, we're going to play a little game.
Can't wait.
Yeah. So I looked online. I was looking up a lot of stuff about teachers quitting, why they quit, all that. And I found a lot of research on this. I found some research. We'll put a link in the show notes to the data, but it talked about why teachers left the profession. It asked them what was their number one reason why teachers left the profession. And Jeff, I challenge you. I want you to think, put your teacher wanting to quit mindset on and think about what do you think were those top five reasons? What do you think was in the top five?
Interesting. Interesting. I have to think about how many times I've thought about this, like winning the lottery or something, right? All right, let's see. All right, so I'm just going to name off, you know, when we were show prepping, I brainstormed a couple things here, and I just want to see if any of them are on the list. Obviously, I'm going to start right off the top with pay and benefits.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Yeah, that's they call it compensation. That was number one on the list, and I feel like that could be an episode in itself. You know, talking about teacher pay and, you know, comparing teacher pay compared to inflation rates and how embarrassing that is for our system to not take care of their educators. But that was the number one list on the list.
Well, and then Joe, you couple that with teacher prep programs and how much it costs to get into the profession. And then, you know, you're coming out of college in debt and then they're not, you know, they're not taking care of you. That was like low hanging fruit though. That was an easy one. I figured that one was an easy one. Let's see. When I look at my list here, how about lack of administrative support?
Lack of administrative. I'm going to count that one. So number four on the list.
Okay.
All right. Number four was leadership. And that could mean principals all the way up to the top, superintendent, school board. So leadership was number four on the list. Well done. You're two for two so far.
Well, I think about, you know, people that I've known that have left the profession. And I think about some of the leadership that they've had in their buildings and things like that. And I know in the building that you and I teach in, Joe, we have had good leaders. And so that there isn't a lot of turnover in our specific building, but I know in others there is. All right. So I got pay, compensation. I got administration. How about the unrealistic expectations?
Unrealistic expectations. Number two, you got number
Let's
two.
Go.
Congratulations. And so what came to your mind when you're saying expectations?
Oh,
what kind
of
expectations?
Just thinking about standards, right? You know, in this podcast, we're calling it Beyond the Standards. But, you know, thinking about, oh, well, you know, the kids need to score a four or something on this test. Or, you know, on our PSAT scores, everybody needs to be above 80th percentile. And they forget about like the building of relationships and things and those expectations they put on the teachers and put on us to do, you know, and we've said it at lunch numerous times. We're not miracle workers, right? You know, we cannot bring a kid who doesn't care or who doesn't want to do well up to where the administrative teams or the, you know, higher ups want them to be.
Yeah. No, the expectations are unrealistic, whether it's academic expectations or expectations of teaching a new textbook and watching all these training videos. The expectations, every teacher has their list of things they have to do. And you think, oh, I've been doing this 18 years. I've taught American history for the last 10. And there's always new expectations with that, with the same class I've taught. It's always changing. There are always, you know, different ways to change it, different ways to teach it. And it just keeps piling on and piling on. And so many of those expectations are things that don't benefit the kids. So teachers feel like they're a waste of time.
Yeah. And, you know, and you throw in there like the alphabet soup, right? You've got your IB, you've got your SEL, you've got your PSAT, you've got all these different acronyms, and it's just one thing after another. And you're just like, I can't even focus on being good at one of those, let alone all of them.
Right.
All right. Three for three.
You got number three and number five left.
So we said compensation was one and unrealistic two. How about parents?
Parents. That is not on the list. That one surprised me a little bit because parents are not on the list. I don't know. Maybe they lumped that into unrealistic expectations.
I had that as number two on my list, actually. I'm surprised it's not on there. Yeah, parents. Yeah. And, you know, when I think about, you know, when I was a kid, if I got in trouble in school and a teacher called home, my parents would reprimand me and they would take the teacher's word and believe what the teacher said. Now it's, you know, well, this is what my kid says. And well, half the time that's not true. You know, we realize that the story gets skewed, but then they don't take our side. They side with their child.
Yep.
Oh, all right. So how about, you ready for another one here, Joe?
I'm ready.
How about work-life balance?
Yep. Workplace flexibility was number five.
Let's go.
Flexibility. And, you know, as a, both Jeff and I come from two teacher households. So we've both got family to deal with, two teachers, family, and the mental health, combine that with the expectations, these things start piling on each other. They become unrealistic to deal with.
So I got 4 out of 5 is not bad. 4 out of 5 is not bad.
No.
I had another one on my list. Can I just throw it out there, see if it was on there? Yeah. Got a better job offer.
That's not on there. I bet they would lump that with workplace flexibility because other jobs would be workplace flexibility. And the one that you missed is one that we really just touched on too, is just well-being. Your mental health, which we talked about with flexibility, because those two
kind of
go hand in hand. So
I'll be interested to hear what our guest has to say about all these, you know, we'll have to talk to him about well-being and all that stuff.
Yeah. And just some other, that was the top five. No, that's really good. I'm impressed. I'm impressed. A couple others that showed up on the list that were not in the top five that kind of jumped out at me. You mentioned the parents. How about the kids? And people get into the profession for the kids because they love the kids. They're passionate about the kids. But I know so many teachers that fed up that used to be able to connect with the kids and they're just struggling to make that connection with the kids. They find the kids disrespectful. They, you know, won't listen, won't do the work. And there's no consequences when they go through that. And part of that's the system, but part of that is the kids as well.
100%. You know, and I think there's, you know, you couple that with lack of respect, you know, I think, you know, they don't see the teacher as the authority in the room anymore. It's like, they think they're on even plane with us and that's not how it works. That's not how it worked when we were in school. And that's not how it's going to work now, but they don't understand that.
Yeah. And the other one I had on the list is safety. Like with all the school shootings going on, teachers don't feel like it's a safe work environment. And the last one, it's kind of all encompassing, is just respect. I mean, you can talk about pay, you can talk about parents. All that could be lumped under respect, treating teachers with respect, which I think is something that is lacking.
It's crazy to me that 3 years ago, with the COVID pandemic, teachers were the heroes for that, you know, those couple of months. And then we went into the next school year and all of a sudden we became the villains. And I don't know what we did wrong. But I remember having teacher parades and signs in your front of your house. And then next thing you know, we're the bad guys. That one, that's baffling to me, Joe.
Yeah, that one was a quick 180. Well, all right, that wraps up that segment. Jeff, I'll give you some credit. Was it 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 5?
4 out of 5. Come on,
four
Joe.
Out of five. Four I'll out get five. You, four out I'll of get five. You, what's that? That's a B minus, right? B minus?
I'll take it. Yep. I'll take it. It's passing.
And I just, one closing thought on that is that I have is, if you talk to a teacher, it's not going to be one of those things. It's going to be two of those things, three of those things, four. It might be all of those things combined that teachers are dealing with. That teachers, as you're going to hear in the upcoming story, I'm sure, teachers are dealing with this, and it's a lot of the good teachers that we're losing. All right, let's move on to the next segment then. All right, welcome back. And in this segment, we're going to take a deep dive into some quitting stories. I think the quitting stories are something that's so overlooked in education. There are so many teachers out there that are quitting. They're leaving the job because they're so fed up with all the stuff that they're having to deal with. And before I introduce our guest, I do just want to say the purpose of this podcast is not to encourage teachers to quit. Okay, that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying actually to do the opposite. We're trying to help teachers cope with what's going on and help teachers kind of deal with all the stuff. And hopefully the right people are listening. And I hope that we can, at least in a small way, make a difference. With that being said, I'd like to welcome Matt Miller to the show. You know, Matt's taken a risk, having some courage to come on here and share his quitting story. And I'm really excited to hear Matt's story, because I think that you know, his story is our story as teachers. I'm guessing the things that Matt's going to tell us about are the same thing that Jeff and I are talking about in between classes and in the lunchroom. Matt, thank you for joining us. The first thing I'd like you to do is just, you know, tell me about your teaching career. Maybe start with what inspired you to become a teacher and how long you've been doing it.
Sure. Yeah. So I was a teacher for 8 years before I got out. Kind of a little background about me. You know, grew up in rural Maryland, went to college in Virginia, got my math degree out there. And I ended up teaching in this small school district outside of DC. It was a Title I district, 60% of the kids on free and reduced lunch, 60%+ of the kids were Salvadoran and Honduran immigrants. Like, it had its issues. And taught math there for 5 years. You know, and while I was there, it was a tough school, but I loved it because I had a good support system. You know, my department was very supportive. They were young. Most of them were my age. I'm like 30, so it was all like mid-20s. You know, we're all just in it to survive and to do our best. And then right when the pandemic started, right in 2020, I moved to upstate New York to my fiance at the time, now wife. She wanted to live closer to her family, so we moved up there. And so moving in the middle of the pandemic and getting married, a lot of fun. So I ended up, you know, moving up there, and I got a job at this district that it's on paper looked awesome. It was like a New York City suburb. It's on the other side of the Hudson. You know, very well off. It's your classic, like, rich white kid district, right? It was a lot bigger than the district I came from, right? The district I came from, I was the calculus teacher.
Okay.
That was it. I was the guy.
Yep.
I had a lot of freedom. This one, you know, it's more high schools, more bureaucracy. And so doing that in the pandemic and, like, getting kind of bogged down by all the bullshit with the bureaucracy of that larger district, it just started to wear me down. And it was like day after day, nothing was getting better.
Yeah.
And so after 3 years of that, I finally pulled the trigger and I was able to get out.
So, okay. Yeah. So you're able to get out. What would you say was it, being a teacher, what was your favorite part of the job? What did you love the most about it?
Definitely the kids, you know, that was my favorite part and like the hardest part of getting was I kind of prided myself on being that guy that like was able to build relationships with the kids, like was able to build rapport. I never took myself too seriously. So like if I had to commit to some stupid ass joke for 40 minutes because it was going to make me laugh eventually and it was going to like, you know, be a good time for the kids, I would do it.
Sure.
And so that was the part I missed the most. And I did some coaching when I was in Virginia and I missed that. But you know, now that I've been out for, you know, a few months, I thought that it would still really be affecting me. And I'm just realizing, I'm like, you know, I can still coach. I can still do other things. So even though that was like my favorite part and the part that I missed the most, it's not necessarily gone.
You know, Matt, I kind of agree with you on the sense that the building the relationships, and that's, you know, one of the reasons Joe and I think still do what we do is, you know, we kind of put up with a lot of the BS because of the kids, right? You know, there's numerous conversations we have where it's like, well, ultimately it's for the kids, right? And so I applaud you for that. Do you mind giving us some examples? You said that, you know, it was one thing after another. What were some of those things that just kept pounding on you and, you know, one more weight on your shoulders? What, give us some examples of those.
Sure. So the district I was in, they kind of they didn't want me to have any sort of personality when it came to teaching. They were, you go in there, you teach bell to bell, you know, you need to get these kids ready for the AP test. We expect 90%. They told me that this, they told me they expected 90% of my AP students to get fours and fives.
It's all about the standards, right?
It's insane because, like, even looking at like national standards and whatnot, 90% of a class getting fours and fives on an AP calc test is like, it's ridiculous. And they were just, you got to be bang, bang. You got to, like, don't worry about your personality. It's you got to just teach math and get out. And I was like, I can't do that. You know?
Now, was, sorry to interrupt, was that from the building level or the district level up top?
That was from department chair and above.
Okay.
So my department chairs, you know, nice people. I don't want to disparage them because deep down they're good people. They have the right things kind of in mind, but they were just so by the book, right? And the school district itself was kind of a pressure cooker. So there was so much expectation that, like, every kid is going to go to college. Every kid is going to have a good GPA. Every kid is going to have a great looking transcript, and that pressure trickles down to the teacher, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I want to just be a positive influence on these kids. I want to teach math and I want to have a good time, and we're going to get stuff done at the end of the day, but I just couldn't be that type. And it really grated on me.
You almost felt like you were losing your identity as an individual, for sure.
Yeah.
Big time. And those people that are telling you that, hey, 90% of your students have to ace the AP test, like, they don't know the kids you're dealing with. They don't know what is brought into the classroom. And the sad part is they don't care. They don't care as long as they hit that 90% mark so they can, you know, write about it in the newspaper and post it on social media.
Exactly. And I mean, their response to that was basically like, be a hard ass. Be so hard on them in the first 2 months. Make them drop. You know, just make it miserable for them so that the only ones left are like the stubborn ones and the kids that are like insanely like top of the class. And that's not me. I don't want to do that. And you're right. I mean, it even comes down to like property taxes, right? Like, there was a kid. There was this incident that happened. I watched it happen. I was on lunch duty. And we have these huge glass windows, right? Looking from the cafeteria, and you're looking right at one of the entrances. And I see this kid, he's outside, and he's standing next to a bush. And all of a sudden, the bush is on fire. It is ablaze. Turns out he was like spraying it with like body spray and a lighter. Oh,
Jesus.
Kid lights a bush on fire. What do all the kids in the cafeteria do? They run to the fire, like the dipshits that they are. And that was funny in itself. But this kid did this in front of a camera, in front of an entrance, in front of a security guard. Okay. What do you think his punishment was? What happened to him?
Maybe he had to go to the office and get a talking to, and they gave him a Jolly Rancher and he went back to class.
Honestly, I was surprised that that wasn't what happened. He got 2 days of in school.
Oh, wow. That's more than I would have expected.
Yeah. I'm like, are you kidding me? This kid should be expelled. And like, he kind of had a history of doing dumb shit. And what it came down to was like, if this kid gets expelled, that makes the news. If that makes the news, parents see it. People that are moving out of the city into this suburb with their money and their you know, property tax money, they're not going to want to move. Property taxes are, it's just that snowball, and it affects silly shit like that. And it's like, if that's the stuff that like we have to deal with on a day to day, I don't want to be part of that right now.
Yeah.
That needs to be fixed somehow.
And you just make sure that dipshit gets a five on his AP test. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That's what they want from you. They don't want you to connect with that kid or learn why he's doing what he's doing. Just get that five. No. Get that five so they can post about it.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Man, that's pretty crazy. So how did you quit? So you talked about all, how all these things, you know, you said a death by a thousand cuts. It was all these things kind of piling up. Did you do what, you know, we talk about with like with the lottery right now, like, oh man, if we win that, we're storming in tomorrow. And just, and we have a great principal.
Yeah.
We do. So I would never want to say anything bad about him, but like, we always joke about, oh yeah, I'd come in and I'd say, you suck to this person and that person. What was yours?
I mean, that was definitely like a weekly fantasy of mine whenever I drove by and saw like the Powerball numbers or whatever. And I did buy the occasional lotto ticket because of that. But what I did, so my mindset was like, I'm a math guy. I like spreadsheets. This data analysis thing is kind of taking off. So let me look into that. And so I started looking into data analysis jobs. I have some friends that, I went to college with, that played Ultimate Frisbee with, and
oh, nice.
They were into data, and they're like, yeah, do this and this, and you know, apply here and there. And so I tried that. I did like the Google data analytics course, and I spent like probably a year just kind of like learning about data analysis and seeing if that was the fit for me. I started applying on LinkedIn, and it was tough finding leads. And after a few months of that, I kind of started thinking about like, what else, you know, can I do? Because I think one of the big things that teachers that are trying to get out deal with, and I definitely dealt with it, is like the imposter syndrome of, I'm not going to be good. I'm not going to know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I've spent all the time in the classroom. I have no skills. And I was like, okay, let me look at some things that are kind of like industry adjacent, but not in the classroom. And I started looking at instructional design and curriculum design. So this past spring was when I really was like spending the most time. I had my data analysis resume. I had my instructional designer resume. And
okay.
I was sending them out left and right. Right. And one morning while my kids were doing a warm up, I don't usually like mess around on my phone, but you know what? I did. And I saw there was like a LinkedIn notification for this company had posted a curriculum design job. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, this checks all the boxes. It's like, this is literally everything that like I'm qualified for. And it would be a bump in pay. And it's remote. And it was easy apply. Like, people will say, like, don't apply to the easy apply shit on LinkedIn. It's like,
yeah,
Nobody looks at it. Well, this is like a really small company. And so they looked at it. So I did it. While my kids were doing a warm up, I sent out the resume and I shot a message to the lady that posted it. And within a day, they had responded. While all this was happening, I was just getting more fuel added to the fire of why I wanted to quit.
Yeah.
While all this was happening, my department chairs and the district like math supervisor, like, I don't know, it's some bullshit position that gets a new person in every 2 years to make three times our salary.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do.
I need one of those jobs.
Yeah, right. So they decided that they wanted to put me on an improvement plan for next year. And I was like, I've been doing this for 8 years. I think I know what I'm doing. I'm pretty comfortable with what I'm doing. This improvement plan that you want to put me on is solely because of some shitty AP scores, shitty comparative to what they want.
Yeah.
And
probably better, like, probably better than 90% of the other districts, but not what they wanted.
And they're like, okay, well, we're not going to let you teach calc next year, and we're going to put you on an improvement plan. And you're going to have to do this, this, and this. And I was like, fine, sure, I'll sign your paper, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you that I'm getting out, but I'll sign your paper, whatever.
Yeah.
And like, as I was walking out of that meeting, I got the email from the company that was like, hey, we want to interview you. Like, hell yeah.
And
perfect
you
timing.
You know, that person that put you on the improvement plan had probably spent about a year in the classroom and climbed that ladder up. And it's sad that the people that are getting the leadership positions are the kids that don't want to be with kids. They're people that shouldn't have been teachers in the first place because they can't connect with kids. And that's the reason why I think a lot of good teachers don't go into administration, because they love connecting with kids. And it leaves the people that don't in charge and in those, you know, quote unquote leadership positions where you're an instructional coach or teaching a teacher how to teach, even though that you have never really done it yourself.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you do get those rare admin that they were a great teacher and they stepped into an admin role. And like, those are the ones that you just want to hang on to forever because they get it, right? They're those like lead from the front kind of people where they're pulling the wagon with you. But yeah, there's so many. And this district would waste money on coaches and PD and stuff. And our building didn't have air conditioning. Right, like I'm sweating my ass off. I'm wearing shorts every day, and no one's giving me crap about it because they can't. It's 85 degrees in the classroom. They're not going to spend money on AC, but they'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on some consultant that's going to come in and tell us how to do our job. Right, and I was just like, I cannot be a part of this system.
I'll bet the board office had AC though.
100%. You know who? You know this is okay. So this is kind of funny. One of the assistant principals, her office was directly above my room and it had a window unit. The window unit would drip down and the condensation formed a trail on my window. And I would just point to to it during class and be like, hey kids, you see that shit? You know, this is like some like uprising pitchforks type of shit. We need to get out there and protest for AC. It was just silly.
How would you describe your mental health, you know, post, you know, or starting this new career once you got out of education? You know, how has it improved? You know, how is life different?
So much better. My mental health when I left education was in the toilet. I was not in a good place. I even told my admin that during my improvement plan meeting, and they're like, oh, you should talk to the school counselor. And I'm like, you don't care about this. If you cared, you would have stepped in earlier. But no, it's like the day that I signed the offer letter and mailed it out, that was when I was like, wow, it actually felt like an actual weight was lifted off of my chest. It's been so much better. I mean, I can wake up at 7 o'clock, which is not 4:45.
Right.
Not doing that. So just like all net positives, you know, I feel better. I can take my dog for a walk, you know, whenever she wants to, whenever
you can go to the bathroom, whenever you want.
I can take a dump whenever I want.
Awesome. Yeah. Right.
You know, my teacher bladder is like completely untrained now.
Right. Right. For sure.
I can go when I want to. I can like this morning I woke up and I was like, oh, I'm out of coffee beans. Oh, I can just go to the store this morning and get some coffee beans. It's cool. Like I don't have to start my day at a specific time. That's one of the kind of fortunate things about my new job. So I can go and I can get that and I can, you know, make my life a little bit better this morning instead of like going to the gas station, getting like a large coffee and like pouring in my thermos.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you mention you talked a little bit about your frustrations with your admin, with your principal? Do you think did they do anything about it? Is there anything they could have done about it? I know probably not after you got the job offer, but maybe before.
Yeah. I think, so I don't want to put this, the what came to mind when I like left that improvement plan meeting was, if you guys cared so much about how I was doing, why are you meeting with me in June and not September of this year that's almost over? If you were so upset about these test scores from the previous year, not the current year, if you're so upset about the test scores from the previous year, why are you meeting with me now and not September? Why are you not supporting me all throughout the year and not just letting me, you know, flounder for a whole nother year and then telling me I need to go on a plan? So I think that, you know, admin have a lot on the plate. They're dealing with parents. They're dealing with all kinds of bullshit, but they are the managers of the building. You know, they're in charge of their staff. And I think, you know, good admin and good leaders they have their finger on the pulse of their staff, and they are doing whatever they can to support them, whether it's just mentally, whether it's, you know, with classroom support and intervention and whatnot. And I think a lot of them just kind of let it go by the wayside. They're like, yeah, they'll handle it. And if things go wrong, you know, we'll deal with it then.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I was going to ask you if you're happy with your decision, but I think you've already kind of answered that one.
Yeah, I am very, very much. Yeah.
So I'd anything else you want to ask Jeff? Anything?
No, this was awesome, Matt. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
I got one more question for you before we go, though. What advice? So there's other teachers in your position, in the position that you were in, I guess, that are, I don't know, on the brink. Do you have any advice for them? Would you say, hey, like, quit? It was the best decision ever. Or no, stick with it. Like, what do you think? Any advice you have for teachers?
So, something I think about a lot, actually. I think, like, while you're in it, don't be a martyr. You know, so many teachers get that martyr complex of like, oh, I need to burn the candle at both ends. I need to give everything and whatnot. And it's like, you know what? Like, good vibes don't pay your bills. That's number one. Also, number two, and I don't know how like fucked up this is to think about, but like, the kids are going to be okay. Like, so many teachers kind of have this mentality that like, if I leave this group of kids or even this one kid that I really care about, everything is going to go down the drain for them. And it's like, the kids are going to be fine. You know, like, they're kind of stuck in a shitty system too right now, but like, your leaving isn't going to destroy their lives or like their chances at a career or whatever. I think those are some things that teachers definitely need to get a grasp on if they want to leave. And something else that really helped me was leaving stuff at school, you know, not taking work home, setting more boundaries. I had this, the district lady, she wanted to observe me. She sent me an email on a Thursday night. It was Thursday after school hours. And it was, hey, there's a 10 school day observation window that starts tomorrow. And I'm going to just come in one of those days. I'm not going to tell you when. And in my mind, I'm like, I didn't see this email until Friday morning. Right?
Yeah.
It was in their first period Friday morning. This lady, when I'm giving a test, and she comes in, she said, I'm here to observe. I'm like, I'm giving a test. Sorry. Oh, well, you should have saw my email. I'm like, oh, the one you sent last night? After hours, when I wasn't working,
The test you told the kids about, delay it for 10 days that they studied for.
So I said, do you want to watch me do a warm up? Like, she's like, I'll be back. And she, you know, she came back last day of the window, all huffy and whatnot. And it was just like, you know what? That was no big deal to me because I did my job. I did my job during the school hours. And when they were over, I put my job, I left it at school. And the more teachers do that, and that means like grades don't get done as quick. Things don't get done on time sometimes. And that might be what districts need to see to realize like we're putting too much on people's plates, right? These teachers need more support. You know, it could go the other way. You know, there are some groups of people that just want to see the public school system fail.
Right.
100%. And they're like, well, let's let it crash and burn. Right. I don't want to see that happen.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, that's good advice. And I know, Matt, you were talking about how teachers are afraid to, hey, the kids won't be okay without me. I know teachers that aren't going to take a sick day because they think the kids won't be okay without them for a day. And I think that, you know, the mental health is so important so you can not burn out and have that longevity.
It's huge. Take your days.
Yeah. Well, Matt, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us. It was, nice. I appreciate you sharing your quitting story and talking about what the school system can do, how they messed up. Cause I can tell you guys, if you were Matt's principal or Matt's administration, you lost a good one. and it's happening way too much, where the good ones are the ones that are leaving. And it's sad that people in positions of power that, you know, don't have the experience they need are pushing teachers out. Hopefully we can make some change, and hopefully we can improve our school systems.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. We appreciate you. All right, you guys, until next time.
Thank you all so much for tuning in to this first episode. Well, Jeff and I fumbled our way through our first podcast. If you'd like to support the show, please give us a like, subscribe. We're starting a Facebook page called The Reality of Teaching. There's not much up there yet, but we really want to build a community here. And more importantly, share this with a fellow teacher and give us some feedback. Thanks again.